Good morning, everyone. Trust you've all had a good week and just enjoying the goodness of life, amen? There's a nation waiting for a horse race to be run. But praise God, God's people, we have a race to run. And unlike that horse race, we all receive a prize. And that's a crown when we go to be with the Lord. And he says, well done, good and faithful servant. Amen. I thought my IT gear was off. And I went over there and hurried back and puffed. praise God. Meryl's gone out, has she? Yeah. But bless Meryl anyway this morning for what she shared this morning during that time of just coming around the Lord's table. And she spoke about the Jesus, a better sacrifice. And my message this morning is about that, about the better blood of Christ, the perfect sacrifice. So this morning I want to share from the book of Hebrews, from around about chapter 9, chapter 10 there. But as I share that this morning, I just trust that this word will speak to our hearts and that we just might be encouraged that have that full realisation of what God done for us and his great love for his people that he gave us, Jesus. Amen. Just a little bit of introduction this morning. Just share a little story. A woman spoke about a garage sale that she had attended where she spotted a handsome, unique or antique copper kettle on sale for only $2.50. It was badly tarnished, so she asked the woman running the sale if the discoloration would come off, and the sale owner cheerfully offered to try some copper cleaner on it and disappeared into the house with the kettle. And reappearing, she reappeared with the gleaming kettle. She handed it to the buyer for inspection. Indeed, it was a more attractive item. It was like new. But plus, she also had a new tag on it. It read, like new, $10. So it's very interesting, isn't it? When the copper kettle first went in on sale, the owner was practically giving it away, $2.50. But something changed its worth. You know, when the copper kettle first went on sale, as I said, the owner was giving it away. But what made this kettle more valuable? Anyone got a clue or like to put your hand up and say, what happened to that kettle? It was made new. It was changed, wasn't it? And that's it. It was a simple cleansing, wasn't it? Just a simple thing that took place there. But when the owner took the trouble to clean away the grime and remove that discoloration and the stains, it made it worth four times more valuable. She actually made an increase. She made a 75% profit. And if you're running a garage sale, you'd reckon, well, that's a great deal, a good deal. But she done well. But what I'm coming to is now everything is more valuable, isn't it? Once it's been washed and cleansed and things look better. And so it is with us. We all get cleaned up and come to church on Sunday. But so we know we look all bright and shiny and look good, don't we? But that's what God wants to do in our lives, because we know we can look back and we were stained with all sorts of things and sin and things that happened in our life. But God got into our life. God came into our life through the presence of Jesus Christ and changed all that. But the Bible tells us we are stained with sin. The guilt and the shame of our past behaviour it took away our value. But in Romans 3:23, it tells us there, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so that's, looking at that, it's sort of created a really unique problem for us, because in Habakkuk 1:13, it tells us there, it says, God's eyes are too pure to look on evil. And it says he cannot tolerate wrong. He can't embrace or behold evil without punishing the guilty ones. But the Bible also tells us there's always a positive side. But the Bible tells us here, God loved us so much. Amen? God loved us so much. And he offered to wash away our sins, a way to cleanse our souls so that we might regain the value that he created us for. Amen? All that past is gone. It's been buried. When we came to know Jesus, and if we happened to be baptized, all that was just put away. It was drowned. It was put to death at the time when we were immersed in the waters of baptism. Amen? So that's a really great thing. But as we know, Christ took our punishment to make us right with God. He was the perfect sacrifice, and there. And so we God made the way possible for us to come into his presence, and we could be made righteous before him because of the cleansing blood of Jesus. What is intriguing is that in cleansing us, God has created a very unusual method of cleaning us up. Amen? A thing. But we look at Hebrews 9, chapter 9, verse 22. It says there, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. And we see here that, and Muriel also mentioned this morning, in the ancient tabernacle needed to be sanctified by the shedding of blood, because then nothing was considered purified without the mark of shed blood. And we see in Hebrews 9, chapter 9, verse 28, and it said there, so also Christ died once for all time as a sacrifice to take away the sins of many people. He will come again, not to deal with our sins, but to bring salvation to all who are eagerly awaiting him. And so we see there that our Christ is going to reappear, and he won't have any part of sin, but he's here to meet with those who don't know him for salvation, and for us who eagerly await him. But what this means is that Jesus Christ appeared on earth. He appeared to accomplish the atoning work. And in verse 26 of chapter 9 there, it says there again, If it had been necessary, Christ would have had to die again and again, ever since the world began. But now, once for all time, he has entered at the end of the age to remove sin by his own death as a sacrifice. Amen? We could say hallelujah, praise God, that he done that for us, that we didn't have to do this ritualistic thing that happened in times gone by. So we see there that, and as we know, that blood sacrifices happened all the time throughout the Old Testament. And here in Hebrews, we see here that we find that the blood of Jesus is what purifies us. It's the blood of Jesus that what saves us, isn't it? And so it's the blood of Jesus that cleanses us. And so just a wonderful thing that God has done for us, and that how he's given us the Christ to be the perfect sacrifice. So Christ has now become the high priest over all good things that have come. He has entered the greater, more perfect tabernacle in heaven, which was not made by human hands and is not a part of this world. With his own blood, not the blood of goats and calves, he entered the most holy place once for all time and secured our redemption forever. Excuse me. So what a wonderful thing God has done for us. But so this morning, just talking about blood, I asked the question, what is it about blood that makes it a cleaning agent? And as everyone probably knows, that blood is one of the most difficult stains to get out of your clothes. You agree with that, ladies? And men too, you know. I know many times work and I've cut myself, I wipe it on the trousers like this and all that sort of thing. And Pat says, what have you done, you know? And then the clothes are in the bucket and White King and everything to urge it to get the stain out. But blood is a very hard substance to remove out of clothing, as you all know. And I also read of a police technique that's used in criminal investigations. And it's a technique, a chemical called luminol. I don't know if you ever heard of it. I've sort of never heard of it before. I've heard the word luminol, but I didn't know what it was. But it's used where offenders attempt to cover up their signs of their crime, and they try and wash out all the clothing or carpet or they wash floored walls and all that, just trying to get the blood stain of the blood off the walls. But so when the police, the criminal and investigation people come in, they spray this chemical luminol. And what it does, it just reveals everywhere where the stain was, you know. They can't hide the stain. And so everything becomes, every stain becomes apparent. It's an amazing thing. But it's a bit like us, isn't it? Can we hide sin? No, we can't, can we? We think we might get away with things. We try and hide it and do all sorts of things, but God knows. God knows. And so, you know, we just have to be very careful, don't we, what we do. And we have to be righteous in the sight of God. So, however, many people, they've put up this argument. They ask, how can blood remove the grime from our soul? How can blood remove the grime from our soul, all this dirt and filth, when the blood itself is a stain-producing agent and that can ruin many things that it comes in contact with? So many people ask that, you know, how can this be? how can this be? But and again, an illustration, I was thinking about this, well, how can this be? And I started to think about all the soaps and detergent and all the cleansers that we have in our homes. We have heaps of stuff for cleaning, don't we? Heaps of stuff. All this gel, the toilet gel, the bathroom gel and showers. And it's all powerful, wonderful stuff. And you try it out and you think, this isn't doing what it's supposed to do. Not like the blood of Jesus that cleanses. But there are mild soap for washing our hands and showers and doing our dishes, and we use them for just about everything, don't we? But the stronger the cleanser, we use them for just about everything, but there are stains that are more difficult, aren't they? Ladies know that with their washing, and they have to do certain things and apply certain, all these cleansing agents to get the stains out. But the stronger the cleanser, the more abrasive they are, aren't they? And the stronger the thing, the more damage they will do, and to what it was meant to be clean. So that happens a lot. And last Sunday week, when we had the working bee, I was looking for a cleanser to clean the whiteboard, and in the room there, I looked at this. Oh, it's got graffiti cleaner. I thought, oh, this looks good. It'll clean anything, hopefully. I sprayed it on the thing, and it sort of sprayed back out on my shirt. I didn't worry about it too much, but by the time I'd got home, there was all yellow spots across shirts. So I've got a green and yellow shirt. I'll wear it to the cricket or something, for the Aussies. What I'm saying is, some of these things, they're good things, but cleansing agents can be damaging, can't they? They can be damaging. But the Word of God, the Bible tells us the most cleansing agent in the world is blood. The most cleansing agent in the world is blood. And in fact, God created blood to be a cleansing agent in our bodies. Amen? And in our bodies, as we know, that the blood takes the oxygen all over our body and supplies all our blood cells, and it removes the waste and impurities from our bodies. It gets rid of all the filth and everything that has to be taken out of the blood. It's cleansed in that way. So there is no other cleansing agent known to man that can purify our body system as well as the blood that runs through our veins. No other cleansing agent or anything that science has invented will clean our blood in that way. God says that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And when we start to think how God has designed our body, and how that He designed it that He can cleanse the blood by the way He's designed us, and man can't recreate it. There are machines for certain ailments and things that happens where people get their blood goes through the machine, and that dialysis and that, but it doesn't do what God designed it to do. But a friend of mine, we know blood is a wonderful thing, and the blood of Jesus, a friend of mine, Adam, he's called, and he's always a real evangelist, a real outgoing guy. And, oh, brother, you've got to be washed in the blood. Got to be cleansed by the blood. He's preaching. I love it when he says it. And he's telling me, John, you've got to get washed in the blood. I said, Adam, I worked in an abattoirs. I know what the blood is like. I've been washed in the blood. I've had to go to places and undo all these pipes where all the blood and stuff comes through. And I said, they've been blocked, and I'm poking up the pipeline that's come out with a mighty gush, and I'm like that, covered in blood. I was washed in the blood, and it immediately came to me that day it happened. But I said, Adam, I've been washed in the blood, but it was the blood of animals that done nothing. It was stinking stuff. It was terrible. And blood, animal blood is terrible stuff, really, when it gets there and it dries and it just stench about it. It gets up your nose. You can't get rid of it sometimes, or it feels that way. But anyway, blood was designed by God. Amen. And getting back to that, to be used to forgive you and I of our sin. To forgive you and I of our sin. And God used blood for several reasons. Firstly, because life is in the blood. Amen? Life is in the blood. And in Leviticus 17 verse 11 it says, "For the life of a creature is in the blood, and I have given it to you to make atonement for yourselves on the altar." It's the blood that makes atonement for one's life. In other words, God intended for the blood to take away our sins, because life is in the blood. And the Bible also speaks about it, and it speaks about how sin brings death. And in Romans 6:23, it tells us there that the wages of sin is death. But God, we hear that, but God desired to give us life. Amen? God desired to give us life. And since blood was identified with life, blood was the most natural substance for God to use. And we know that during the Passover, an innocent lamb was slaughtered, and it was and blood was smeared on the doorpost and the lintels of every Israelite's home to remember when death passed over. It spared them. It gave them life. The blood, that sign, gave them life during that time. So the blood back then, it constantly reminded people that their sacrifice was to deal with death's power and to give life. And the second point I want to make is that blood indicated that a price had been paid. In order for a blood sacrifice to be given to God, something had to die. Something had to die. If a sacrifice took place, there was an animal of some sort that had to die to pay for that person's sin, a sacrifice, and the price had to be paid, and that was of the animal. Something had to die. And so God meant for his people, he wanted them to know that how terrible their sins were, and he still wants to, he reminds us of that, of how terrible our sin can be too also. But every time they sinned, they were required to offer a blood sacrifice, as I just said. And it's the same for us today. They had to pay the consequence of sin. They had to sacrifice an animal. They probably cried, you know, "Oh, I've got to kill my cow. I've got to kill my sheep. It's worth 50 shekels," or whatever it was. And they were probably moan and scream about, but the sacrifice had to be paid. And one of these poor animals had to die because of their guilt and sin. And so it's the same for us today. If we sin, there are consequences, aren't there? There can be terrible consequences of the sins that we can commit. And so we need to be just in a right frame of mind and just being in God's presence all the time and looking to him. But in the Old Testament, as we know, every day people lined up at the temple gate offering their sacrifices for the things that they had done. And And day after day after day, it was just a ritualistic thing that took place where they offered up to God all these sacrifices. And these sacrifices cost the life and the blood of an innocent animal to pay for their sins. And the third point I want to make is that, but sooner or later, you know, someone had to wonder how the blood of bulls and goats could take away their sins. How could the blood of goats and bulls and all that sort of thing take away their sins? How could that cleanse them? But because the only link to these animals, to the sins of the offerers, was that these animals were owned by the sinner, and they were the sacrifice. These goats and bulls and lambs and other animals had no tie. They didn't know what was going on, but they were the ones that had to die. They were the sacrifice. And as we know, this blood sacrifice, there was nothing in inherently powerful in the blood of these animals that would forgive forgiveness to the sinners. The blood of these bulls and goats and animals, it didn't have the power to be able to forgive them. But that's why it says in Hebrews 10, verse 4, "For it's not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins." That is why when Christ came in the world, he said to God, "You did not want animal sacrifices or sin offerings, but you have given me a body to offer. You were not pleased with the burnt offerings or the offerings or other offerings for sin." So there we see there that these things, even though God gave them away, it wasn't pleasing to God. It wasn't pleasing to him, and it didn't give him pleasure to see these people just going through this ritualistic symbolic type of thing that they were just doing time and time again, because the blood of the animals couldn't forgive anybody. It couldn't do what the blood of Jesus did. And as I just said, in burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin, you had no pleasure. It didn't please God. It didn't please God because they were only symbols. But God used their blood. He used the blood of the animals, and that to help us realize that there would come, a time would come when an ultimate sacrifice would remove all of our sins. And that ultimate blood of blood sacrifice that we know, it was the blood of Jesus. Amen. The blood of Jesus. And as John 1:7 1 John 1:7 tells us, it's the blood of Jesus. And that's what we have to see and come to that place that Jesus Christ sacrificed his life. Jesus sacrificed his life for us, that so we would have life. As I mentioned earlier and quoted the scripture, the blood brings life. Through the blood of Christ, we have now life. We have a life, an everlasting life. Amen. As I also, it's the blood of Jesus that saved us. There was no other way possible for us and go into the presence of God without the shed blood of Jesus. And we know life-giving blood from the Father. And again, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. I read this before, I'll read it again. "With his own blood, not the blood of goats and calves, he entered the most holy place once for all time and secured our redemption forever, for eternity, an eternal gift he gave us." So why was it important that it was Jesus' blood? Why was that so important that it was Jesus' blood? was important because all our sins is committed against God, aren't they? All our sins that we commit against God. If we offend one another, we're offending God, aren't we? And any sin that we commit against God, we're offending God. And as we know, and I just stated, that the blood of God can cleanse away my sin, can cleanse away your sin. And it's only the blood of Jesus that can do that. It's only the blood of Jesus that cleanses us. And because he has the right to forgive us, God gave Jesus the right to give us, bring forgiveness upon us. For it's the blood of Jesus that gives the resurrection its power. And that was a mighty powerful thing, that how God raised his son from the dead and brought him back. And that same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. Amen. That same power. And we have to walk in that victory. We have to walk in that vein. We have to walk in that confidence and having that assurance that Jesus died for us and that God raised him from the dead so that we might have a life, an abundant life, and have it more abundantly and live that life to the fullness in him. And so that's why we're told in baptism we're told, and it says there in scripture, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized unto his death? We were therefore buried with him through the baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may have a new life. Amen. So we have that, just again, that wonderful assurance of God's promise to us, how that we can walk in through victory, with him in victory, that when we're obedient to him and we've been able to go through the water as a baptism and we've been able to bury all the past away, we've been put away former things and walk in the fullness of God. And the scripture goes on to say, for we know that our old self was crucified with him, so the body of sin might be done away with. All is gone, with that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. It tells us that in Romans 6 verses 3 to 7, but in our salvation, we know that we had to take part in Jesus' death, didn't we? We had to come to that realization to know, to come in really in the an act of a symbolic thing, that we had to come into contact with the blood of Christ, to have that impression upon our lives, and to really know that having been touched by the blood of Christ and being buried with him through baptism, and as the scripture tells us, through doing all those things, we can also share in his resurrection, that resurrecting life that God has offered for us. So in closing, I just want to say this morning that it's only at the cross, isn't it? It's only when we come and present ourselves before God and look to Jesus and to see that that our sins are removed and cleansed with and purified, because it's the only place where we can come into contact with the blood of Jesus. When we come into that place, when we come into that time of worship with God, in your quiet time, that time that you just spend with God alone and say, Lord, it's you and me. I'm here with you, Lord. Just take care of all these things that I bring before you. Everything I have, everything I offer, Lord, I'm laying in them at your feet. This thing, that thing, Lord, I want it to be gone. And it's only at that time that Jesus can minister to us through the power of his Spirit and to lift us up, to make us whole. And it's only at the cross of Jesus, you know, that where we can be made whole as we empty out, as we empty out ourselves and just give everything back to God. And in doing that, when we do that, we are made whole. Amen? We are made whole because the presence of God comes in such a powerful way. And as I mentioned quite a few times there, it's only through the blood of Jesus that's made this possible. And so we just have a wonderful assurance of what God is done in our life, what God wants to do in our life, what he has in store for us in the future. Many, many things that God has yet to unfold for us. Prophetic words that have been spoken in your life, they're still to come to pass. We have that great hope to be able to look forward to that and say, Lord, I'm waiting for that. I'm waiting. I'm not sitting back on that. I'm not putting that away. I'm keeping that in here. One day that will come to pass. And I just pray and ask if you've had a word spoken over your life, don't put it on in the back burner sort of thing, but just store it in that little place that's part of your soul, in your heart, and just wait upon the Lord. So we sing that song, we wait upon the Lord, we wait upon the Lord. That's those things of what we do in the waiting. All these things, those promises that God has given us, things that people encourage you with prophetic words, all that type of thing. It's been spoken in our lives that we can just wait upon the Lord and know that one day they will come to pass. So it doesn't matter when, but that when will come. And we know that when we wait upon the Lord, he will bring things to pass. But again this morning, we can just have that confidence in God. And God has done a great and a mighty, awesome, powerful, wonderful thing and given us Jesus through the wonderful sacrifice on the cross for that. And we're reminded of this every Sunday we come. We just set aside a time at the Lord's table where we can just be remembered, because Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. And we do that. We remember the shed blood of Jesus. We remember the sacrifice that God made when he gave his only one and only Son. And as the scripture said, for God so loved the world, for God so loved you and I, that he gave us Jesus. And the invitation this morning is always, anyone here this morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour, today is a good day to say, yes, I would like to be a part of God's kingdom. Today I want to give my life to Jesus. Today I want to surrender all that old life. Today I want to lay that at the foot of the cross and hand this life over to Jesus. I want this new life, this blood-giving life that only comes from the Lord himself. So, Father God, again, thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you, Father God, that you just give us opportunity, Father, to share our faith. And so this day, Lord, we just ask and pray, Father, Lord, for all my sisters and brothers here this day, Lord. Lord, that you give them that confidence to speak out and to have the boldness to testify of the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a difference a day makes. What a difference a day makes. And this day can be a big difference for anyone who knows Jesus. So, Father, again, we just look to you this day. Lord, that you... we know, Lord, that you are with us. But, Father, as we just come to a close this morning, we just thank you, Lord, for the wonderful morning we had where we're able to come together until we meet again. In Jesus' name, we bless you, Lord, as you bless us. Amen.